Good morning, those of you that have joined us here in the worship center of Christ the King, and those that are joining us online. We gather now for a time of just looking into God's Word. And I don't know about you, but my glasses have been dirty of late. Have you felt like the world has thrown a lot of mud at you? My glasses have been fogged up, they've been dirty. And I've had to pause. You know, we live in a time when we get conflicting news reports. We get things that are polarized and extreme. And there's this sense of winners and losers. And, you know, you never want to be a loser. We struggle with what does it mean to stay safe. And yeah, we have to use these masks, the sanitizer, washing our hands all the time. Those are just good practices in some ways, but we feel like, well, what do I do? How do I stay safe? We encounter tensions between people, be it in our family or in our neighborhood, over some things that are, you know, big things like education and economics and sometimes it's just personal preference. So some of these are like mud thrown at us. And we get dirt on our glasses and we can't see clearly. The way we look at life is our perspective. And our perspective shapes how we respond to life. So over these last weeks, God has been challenging me with the question, and as I look at my own life, he says, are you seeing the dirt on your glasses, or are you seeing my glory? As I was thinking about our times and was asked to bring the word today, the Lord took me back to an Old Testament prophet, Isaiah. Isaiah, yeah, he was that prophet that told about the one who was going to come as and spring up from the root of Jesse. Isaiah was the one who said that there was going to be one who was born of a virgin who would then rule forever. Yeah, that was Isaiah. And he also prophesied that this mighty Messiah that was coming would be a suffering one. What a mixture of images Isaiah portrays for us. He would bear our sins. He would bear our sorrows. He would bear our sicknesses. Yeah, that's the one, that Isaiah. And you would think, being one who could see that things wouldn't get in the way, that his vision would be clear. But he too had moments when he was seeing the specks and not seeing the glory. From Isaiah, I've been learning through this year that I, and might I say you, can see clearly in foggy, uncertain, troubling times by looking at Christ on the throne. You and I can see clearly as we lift our vision and gaze at Christ in the midst of our circumstances and see him on the throne. You see, when Isaiah was called into ministry, it had been a good time in the land. It was a time of prosperity. Everything seemed to be going well. The land was the land of God's people. Then the king stepped over the line and came under God's judgment and died. And about that same time, the nations around Israel were getting into war with each other. In fact, right at this time, the capital city next to them was being surrounded by the emperor of Babylon. You go, whoa. Shift in times. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? In fact, at that time, the ups and downs caught Isaiah. And he was, oh, now what? I want to look at Isaiah chapter 6. So I'd ask you to open your Bibles. We'll see it here on the screen as well. But look at Scripture with me. Be that on your phone or on paper. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the house shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people, in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a burning coal that he had taken from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am. Send me." We meet Isaiah in the year that King Uzziah died. King Uzziah had been a good king, had had a long reign of several decades, had accomplished many great things. The nation was in a good state. Everything seemed to be going well. And then there was that one flaw. The king, in a moment of arrogance, took his place in the temple that was reserved for the priests, came under God's judgment. Leprosy covered his body from head to toe. He was pushed away from the people. He was rejected as the king, and he came to die. It was at this moment that Isaiah has this vision of God. When everything in the world was at turmoil, nothing seemed to be right. Specks on his glasses. Mud. From this story, I found God speaking to me about my own way of looking at the world around me during this time. Was I seeing the spots, or was I seeing Jesus clearly? Isaiah retells this vision. He encounters God. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah, as he's telling this, he sees him in his position as authority, as king. He sees him worshiped by the angels and all the beings in heaven. And as he sees this glory, he is shocked, and he is brought to the point of, "Woe is me! I am a sinner." Imagine that. The prophet, the spokesman of God, realizing, "I am in putrid condition before God. And I live among a people that are equally messed up." His confession brings the response of God's angels. And I can't quite imagine what that would be like, to have a coal, hot coal, brought against your mouth. But notice, he didn't say your mouth has been burned, scorched, cauterized. No, he says your guilt has been removed. Your sins have been atoned for. What follows that cleansing is a commissioning to go and represent God before the people, to speak for God, to call the people back to God, to be a servant of God. As I reflected on this scene and the reality of our time, our city, our community, the place where I live, I was reminded how much I need to see more clearly. The foggy, troubling, uncertain times have clouded my perspective and have affected my response to those situations. I needed to see Christ on the throne and to have him clean my glasses. So I want to share a few principles with you this morning that came to me as I looked at Isaiah chapter 6. The first one is to go to the place of cleaning. See, when I realize my glasses are dirty, I have to go to a place in the house where I have what I need to clean them. So we have to go to the right place for cleaning. And it means you've got to have the right instruments, the right things to do the cleaning. In my house, it's in the bedroom. I keep these things in the same place all the time so that no matter what happens, I know right where to get them. Better. We need to go to the place of cleansing for our lives. Not only cleansing of our vision when the world and events throw mud at us, but we need to go to the right place for cleansing. Isaiah encountered God, and in that encounter, he saw himself and received from God the cleansing he needed. So what is the place of cleaning? Well, one place would be God's house. No, God doesn't live in a place made with hands, but he lives among us as a people. So as we gather, he meets with us, and in that place we meet God. As we meet together in community groups, we have an opportunity to have him speak to us and in essence, to begin to clean our lives. We need to meet God as we meet his word. And in that meeting, allow the word to shape our vision. Go to where you meet God and see him as the source of cleaning. We must see God as the source to go there and to find him as the one. Psalm 24 speaks with a picture of God as the creator and sustainer of the world. You know, and as that psalm begins with stating, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers." The picture of God as the creator, the sustainer of the world. And then the psalmist continues, "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place?" How can we come into that presence where we could meet God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. In order for us to come into God's presence, we need to be clean, but we need to come there to be cleaned. We have to ascend, to go up, to see God high and lifted up. He is the sovereign. He sits on a throne with all authority. There is nothing that is higher, bigger, stronger than our God. In the midst of the COVID of this year, many have written reminding us to look up. What would we see if we looked up to God? We would see him on a throne with all authority over Satan and all demons and angels, good or evil, authority over the natural universe, galaxies, stars. The expanse is all under his authority. Authority over all the weather systems, hurricanes, typhoons, tornadoes, and the waves that come as a result of them. Plants and animals, whether they be the big ones like whales or the great redwoods, or whether they be the little plants and animals, you think of bacteria, viruses, and yes, Jesus has authority over coronavirus. He has authority over all the parts and functions of this human body. Every beat of your heart, every breath you take with your diaphragm helping you to do that, every little jump across a synapse in your nervous system, connecting your brain and the rest of your body, all of that is under God's control. He has authority over the nations and governments, elections. He has all authority over education and research and science and discovery. He has all authority over crime and violence, families, neighborhoods. He has authority over his body, the church, and every single human soul. He has authority every moment and every second of every life lived. Wow. And from that position of authority, God has provided us with the cleaning agent that removes the toughest stains. Isaiah 1:8 describes those stains as being like scarlet, deep, deep red. But his forgiveness, his blood, makes them whiter than snow. Whiter than Clorox or OxyClean could get it. Taking out the stains of our lives. Removing the sin. When our glasses are foggy and dirty, we try our best to clean them up. We take them to the place of cleaning. We try our best to get the smudges off. You know, we do the same thing with our lives. When we feel our lives messed up, we try to clean ourselves up. And we need to remember that we have to go to the source. We have to go to God who is high and lifted up. We have to go to Him as the source of cleaning. Working outside yesterday, I took my glasses and went like this, and it was worse when I put them back on. I had to go in the house and use the cleaning agent. When we find our lives full of stains, when we realize that our lives still stink when we try to clean them up ourselves, we have to go to the source. Look up to the one who is high and lifted up, because from him comes the blood of Jesus Christ. Let his forgiveness open your eyes to see clearly, because that cleaning agent is his forgiveness made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7 reminds us that when we walk with him and have fellowship with him, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. You and I have that possibility of coming to him and receiving from him the forgiveness of our sins. God extends that from the throne to each of us. But he extends that from the throne to us because he came here and entered our world. The prophet Isaiah spoke about the one who was going to come and be born of a virgin. He came and took on our life. And it was that act of becoming like us and taking on our human frail frame that made it possible for him to be the one who is exactly the right person to be our Savior. It was his coming that provided that. But it also meant that he had to die in our place. That he had to die a death on the cross to pay for our forgiveness. You can ask him to enter your life as your Savior. It's a simple step of faith to ask him to come in and to wash you. Cleanse your heart, your soul, so that you can see more clearly. You will see him high and lifted up, but you will also see him as he enters your life and changes the way you look at life. Don't just let him clean your heart. Let him work to clean your vision. Don't try to clean your glasses on your shirt. It doesn't work right. Get the right cleaner. Go to Jesus and let him clean your life. But you know, as we come to him and he works this cleaning work in our life, he asks us to pause. See, every time I clean my glasses, I do something. I don't know whether you're like me or not. Those of you that have glasses, after you clean them, you take them and you hold them up to make sure that, yep. Yeah, you see that there's still some smudge, or you go, oh, yep, I can see clearly now. You know, when our glasses are really dirty, sometimes it takes a second, a third time. So when we take our vision of life to Jesus and ask him for his cleansing, let's pause and take a look to verify that we are seeing life clearly. Pause. Scripture calls that pause Sabbath. Take time for Sabbath. A time to stop and remember that God is still at work. Stop your hurrying and your flurrying about and stop. And remember that God is still on the throne. Stop and remember that God is still at work. Stop and let him refresh you as you pause to delight in him. When God gave us the gift of Sabbath, and yes, it was a gift, it wasn't an obligation to hold us down, it was a gift to refresh us. He gave it to help us to understand that he is still at work even when we pause. He is still present with us to refresh us when we pause. And we don't have to work all the time. Henry Nouwen, as he was writing about waiting, spoke about this waiting and pausing before God as being fully present in that moment with God. You know, it takes slowing down enough to become fully present with another person. And God asks us, in order to reshape your perspective, in order to verify that you are seeing clearly, you need to stop. But stop in a way that I can speak into your life, God says to us. Stop so that you are fully present with me, delighting in what I am and what I do. Be present with God and let him adjust your focus. But how he does that is through the scriptures. So we pause looking into scripture, because as we look into scripture, we discover that our perspective has been warped by the pressures of our times, by the things that are thrown at us. Our glasses are no longer clean. Our perspective is warped. Because we're hearing all sorts of messages thrown at us. Pause to clear away those lies and the warps that the enemy throws at us. Anne Voskamp, in her book, A Thousand Gifts, writes about our need for perspective and how even in the course of a day, she began to look at things and realized my perspective was warped because of the things I was hearing, and I needed to change that. How have your view of people and situations been warped of late? I think when we look at people, we look out and it's very easy to see the differences. I know that all year long, God has been challenging me, not only about flourishing, but he has been challenging me about this whole question of understanding that somebody who is different than I am, I need to be able to look at them from God's perspective. And so as I come to Scripture, the Bible began to change how I looked at people. And I looked at people seeing them as creatures that God had made in his image. What does that mean? See, God made people for a relationship with him. And when I encounter people, I may encounter them not in a relationship with God, but I need to see them as people whom he created for that relationship with him. Which means then, I seek out the opportunity to build a place of common ground to be able to connect with them so that they are able to connect with Jesus Christ and have that life-giving message of God's change, that forgiveness that I have already experienced, be able to become available to them. As we started this year, Pastor Craig called us back to remember Jesus and his calling to us. That series was called Mission Clarity 2020. But in that, as we live our lives for God, we see how this will be greater than we imagined. How the influence of what we do will have a greater impact. So how have you lived this year? Have you seen God multiply in your life? Have you seen the world try to warp and bend and twist your perspective? You see, God wants to untwist it as you come to his scripture. We have faced losses. Many of them have been ambiguous, hard to define kind of losses. We feel a loss in our soul and not really able to define, what did I lose? Yet God has a way of redeeming those losses as we put them in his hands and see them through his eyes. Pause to be able to see the people around you clearly. To check that your relationships are clean. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes about Jesus Christ who is exalted. But that's the end of the story. Before that, he said, talked about Jesus who became like us. Oh yeah, and just before that, in the first verses of chapter 2, Paul tells us that we need to have the attitude like Christ, of being willing to be humbled, to look at the other, to look at the interests and concerns of the other, to see the other person as valuable as we are, as their interests as important. No, he goes one step further and says, count them even more important than yourself. Wow. What a way to express love your neighbor as yourself. Put them ahead of you. Build that bridge. Find the place to be able to build a bridge too. As we see our neighbors clearly, we can find that common ground. We can find a place to stand and to connect with them. And as we do it, God calls on us to rise. Isaiah was called out at the end of that vision. Who am I going to send? So God's calling to you today as you are gathered here, as you are online with us. God is speaking to you and saying, who's here? Who has come into my presence and is willing to be sent? So rise to walk into your day seeing clearly. We must take this clear vision that God is giving us into our day. We've had a year where many of us have had to work remotely from home, so we haven't had to go into our day in the same way. But as we take our step out, God wants to call us to something new. Be prepared as you step out into your day seeing clearly that there's going to be more mud thrown. Be certain there's going to be grime. Be certain there's going to be winds that are going to dust your glasses. You are going to continue to have to practice the lesson of coming to Him to have your vision clear. But as you see Him, you will see Him at work in your day. As you step out, as you rise, I want to share something with you from my reflections this year. You see, God's been talking to me about flourishing, and as I step out into my day, I need to be well planted. If I'm not well planted, I'm going to get knocked over. I want to share a picture with you. I wouldn't want to be a tree planted in that place. But that tree is flourishing. Because it has learned to go to the source, it has a taproot that goes down to find the water. God's been sharing with me through the year the reminder of being a flourishing tree, a flourishing person, means that I have to be well-rooted in Him. There are lots of pictures in Scripture about trees that are planted near water that give fruit. The one that sticks with me is Psalm 1. The man who meditates on God's word shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water, that it gives fruit in its season. You and I need to flourish like that. We need to be a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, so that as we step out into our day, we step out with our vision clear and our life fed from the life of Christ, so that we can take it into our day. We must seek our strength from Him to keep going into the day. A clear vision of God and a clear relationship with Him, walking in His truth, refreshed as we read it, and let it dwell in your life. As you go into your day, I want to leave this one thought with you. Look up before you look out. See the glory of God. Let Him reshape your perspective of life before you step out into that life this week. Look up before you look out as you go into your day. 2020 has been a foggy year. We need clear vision for uncertain times. 2020 has been a year of groaning. We need clear vision to admit our groans and see them through the eyes of Jesus. 2020 has been a year of losses, and we need clear vision to see the losses and grieve them well. 2020 has certainly been a year. We need to see God clearly again and end 2020 better. Father God, You have met with us today, and as we have met with You, we have seen You high and lifted up. We have seen Your glory, Your authority. We have had opportunity to pause before You and to check our vision. Lord, through this week, meet us and reshape our thinking, reshape our vision, reshape our seeing, so that we can step into the world, step into our day, step into our community, and carry the life-giving message of Jesus to those that we meet. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be Your representatives as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.